Well, I was told yesterday that my brother wasn't going to be here, so I had to change my message. And my mother-in-law shows up. May need to shift it back a little bit. I'm not going to do that because I ain't got that much time. I am thankful to be here. Excuse me. It seems odd to be here. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but on the way down here, we mentioned that it doesn't really seem like Sunday because we don't drive to church. We walk to church for the most part. But I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to help and to maybe be a blessing. We pray that that be the case and something to be said be a helpful blessing to you. Something to be said that might prick your heart. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're going to be trying to preach the book of Exodus, chapter 8. A little bit of what Daddy talked about this morning with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, a little bit of it will apply in our thought this morning. Certainly a different thought, but similarities, I guess you'd say. In one sense of compromise, our thought this morning is our title. If you want a title, our title this morning is "Get Out of Egypt." Get out of Egypt. There is in the preceding chapters of chapter 8. There's a command of the Lord.
Right.
And the Lord is dealing with Moses and Aaron to deal with the children of Israel. And you know the story how that Moses is, he's worried. Here, I don't guess there's really think about it a whole lot, but when Moses comes back to do the job that he's fixed to do, he's 80 years old.
Right.
We're not talking about a child, we're talking about an 80-year-old man, and he lives to be 120, and the last 4 years of his life were spent in the wilderness, trotting around that old wilderness, dealing with a bunch of hard-hearted people.
Right.
But the command comes to Moses. Moses, I want you to go, and I want basically what the Lord says to Moses about my people, it needs to come out of Egypt.
Right.
I mean, they need to get out of Egypt. It's been long enough. They've been down there, and I've seen the affliction of my people. It really is a wonderful thought to look and to see and to consider that God never forgot His people.
Right.
And God will never forget His people.
Amen.
But He tells them, you got to get out of Egypt. And He says, Moses, he said, I'm going to put a stumbling block before you. But he says, it's all according to my will. And that stumbling block is named Pharaoh. And he says, Pharaoh is not going to very easily allow you to exodus, that's where the word comes from, or to exit out of Egypt.
Right.
But he said, Moses, that's my plan. That's really the will of God. He says to Moses, he says, I'm going to show my power in this.
Amen.
And so we won't go through all the things. We just want to look at really one aspect of this thought this morning. But really, we're going to be in Exodus 8, chapter 8, verse 25. We're just going to read a few verses of Scripture here up to this point. But If you read the story of Exodus here, or the story of Moses and the children of Israel here, Moses goes before Pharaoh, and he says to Pharaoh, he says, "Let my people go." There's three things in here that he wants the people to be able to do. I think first and foremost, the main thing that we see emphasized in the scripture of Exodus is that they may go and sacrifice unto the Lord their God. Now he says, other places, he says, go that they may hold a feast unto the Lord, go that they may serve the Lord. In other words, the thought here this morning is that none of these things can be done in Egypt.
Right.
You know, the Lord, you know, maybe if you're like me, you ask a lot of questions. Why did the Lord have to get the children of Israel out of Egypt? Again, that's all the plan of the Lord. He had a journey for them to go on through the wilderness before they could make it to the promised land. And all of this here really pictures to us when we read about the children of Israel being in bondage, the Lord delivering them with a mighty hand, trotting through the whole wilderness for 40 years, and eventually going over into the promised land, is our lot.
Amen.
It's our lot. We come into the world, we're in Egypt. The Lord delivers us out of Egypt by a strong and mighty hand, by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's salvation.
Right.
We may not physically leave this world, but we leave out of Egypt and we enter into the wilderness where we will spend the rest of our lives until we enter into the promised land.
Right.
And when we enter into the promised land, it will be all over. It won't be like we find here where they had to fight battles or that the promised land became divided. But when we enter into the promised land, whether it be upon death or when the Lord's glorious return comes and takes us out of this place, we will exit it out of the wilderness and we will go home and be with the Lord.
Amen.
Throughout the tribulation of eternity.
Amen.
And nothing, as we see, the types are not perfect. They're just a beautiful picture, but they're not perfect. Whenever the children of Israel left the wilderness and went into the promised land, things that defiled went into the promised land.
Right.
But the Bible says the eternal promised land, the one that we're looking for this morning, if we know the Lord is our personal Savior, nothing will enter in there that defiled.
Amen.
And so we will always be pure and wonderful and perfect. But up to this point, Moses has come to Pharaoh. And if just think about it, consider this morning, that Pharaoh, I believe, could have. I mean, I don't believe he could have because I don't believe the Lord would allow it, but I believe he had the physical power to kill Moses if he wanted to. But he never threatened, it doesn't seem in the scriptures that he ever threatened Moses' life. That's the mighty hand of God. And he knew there was something with Moses, but he just kept hardening his heart.
Right.
In places the Bible says that Pharaoh hardened his heart. In other places the Bible says the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart.
Right.
And so he puts a plague of water, turns the water to blood, and puts a plague of the frogs, puts a plague of the lice, puts a plague of the flies. And every time Pharaoh appeals to Moses, you know, take these plagues away, and Moses goes and takes the plagues away, Pharaoh hardens his heart, the Lord hardens his heart. And this is where we get to our point after this morning in verse 25. After the plague of the flies, the swarm of flies, he says in verse 25, and Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron, and said, go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abominations of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Though shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and they will stone us. We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he as he shall command us. Now, look at this thought here after the fourth plague, I believe, if I'm not mistaken here, that Pharaoh comes to Moses and says, Moses, let's compromise. Is that not what he said? Is that not what he's doing? Because whenever he says you can sacrifice to your God in the land, he's talking about Egypt. And we know that because Moses says right back to him, that'll never do.
Right.
That'll never do. He says, in other words, he says in verse 26, he says, it is not meet. That word meet there means proper. It means a prophet. In other words, again, what Moses is trying to say here, what he is saying to Pharaoh is, he says, Pharaoh, I cannot do that because that's not God's will.
Right.
That's not what God wants me to do. That's not what God has commanded me to do. And that's not what we're going to do.
Right.
To do it at this point would be just simply utter bankrupt at Egypt, I mean. So Pharaoh, he comes to Moses by way of compromise. By way of compromise. Now, the devil always, and I say the devil, and sometimes maybe I give him too much credit, but the devil, or maybe our own very own lust of our own flesh, may come to us at times and say, compromise.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Compromise. Compromise what you believe, so that you can fulfill the lust of the flesh. Pharaoh, in what we see here, Pharaoh may have said, Moses, look at all these people. I think later on it says 600,000, I believe it is, besides women and children, marched out of Egypt in the Exodus. And maybe Pharaoh appealed to Moses and said, Moses, how are you going to take care of all these people in the wilderness? Moses, how are you going to command this massive amount of people? Why don't you just sacrifice in our land here and get it over with? Well, Pharaoh, he's done seen. He done seen that he's benefited by the children of Israel being in his land. They're slaves. They're in bondage. They cannot freely get up and walk out because they're in slavery here. They're in bondage. And but he knows, listen, they leave out, well, who in the world is going to make all the bread?
Right.
Whenever Moses comes to him and says, let my people go, Pharaoh says, the people have too much time on their hands. And he says, you allow my people to rest. He says, go down there and make sure they make the same amount of brick as they always have, but don't you take them any straw like you was doing. He said, make them go out and get their own straw so that they may make their own brick, and that way, guess what? They're busy. There is no rest when the devil is around.
Amen.
The devil does not want us to have any peace in our life. He does not want us to have any rest in our life, but God does.
Amen.
God is peace, and He is rest. And we can only find that eternal rest and that eternal peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's
Amen.
The only place we can find it. The world may offer a peace. The Bible, Jesus said there in the book of Gospel of John, I believe it is, He says, peace I leave with you, not as the world leaveth, leave I to you. In other words, the world does offer a peace, but guess what it is? It's a temporary peace.
Amen.
As we talked about this morning, Brother Larry talked about that building being gone. Everything in this world is going to be gone one of these days.
You're right.
And there's nothing physical that you can go out here and lay your hands on and touch. It's going to be here when it's all said and done. But there is that eternal part of you
Amen.
That needs the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that is the only peace you'll ever have in your life. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you look there in that story we was reading this morning, Nebuchadnezzar, I think his name there, he says to them, I want to give you a second chance.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't bow before whenever the music played. And those Chaldeans, well, they was just tickled to death about that. And they run up there and come to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar says, okay, I'm going to give you another chance. I want to cue the music. And if you fall down and serve or worship or whatever my image, then I'll throw you in the fire. Mm-hmm. In other words, he said, let's compromise. Mm-hmm. I really believe the same thing happened with Daniel and the lion's den. Daniel, he heard that the writing was made, the decree was made, and that decree couldn't be changed, and he could not pray unless he went and made petition to the God of the king there, and he went immediately to his house like he did every day, and I guarantee you those people were sitting there waiting for him. And he prayed to his God with the windows open. They run right up to the king and said, hey king, remember that decree you made of the Medes and the Persians? It cannot be changed. And here's Daniel down here praying to his God. The Bible says that king liked Daniel because he's seen there was a benefit in Daniel. He was a trustworthy man, an honest man. He liked him. And the Bible says he labored from the going down, from the beginning of the sun, or rising of the sun, to the going down of the sun, something like that, to try to deliver Daniel. You know what I think he was doing? I don't think he was arguing with the people who was trying to get him killed. I believe he was arguing with Daniel. Daniel, why don't you just fall down and worship? And why don't you just ask the petition? He said, listen, Daniel, I believe he said, if you'll just do this and get yourself out of the fire, you can go make a petition down at your house. But oh, by the way, close your window so nobody else can see.
Yeah, right.
And Daniel said, I can't do that. I cannot do that. Now, I love Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I love that aspect of their answer. We're not careful to answer you in this matter.
Amen.
In other words, whenever it comes to the will of God and what they needed to do, sometimes we need to pray about faith, but sometimes we don't.
Right.
And they didn't need to say, well, let's go pray whether we should worship another God or not. They said, no, we ain't careful. We don't even have to think about it.
Amen.
We're not going to do it.
Yeah.
We're not going to compromise. God here, he has commanded Moses to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And short of this, nothing will do. Nothing will do. Look with me back to Exodus chapter 6, verse 1. Exodus chapter 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord.
Yes.
Pay attention to that. He says, in verse 3, he says this. He says, and I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. In other words, in verse 2, that word Lord there is the word Jehovah. In other words, he says, Moses, he says, I am Jehovah. Now, I can't expound upon all that, all that it means to me, but I believe what he's saying here is, he says, I appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. That word God, there's a different word. It means God, but it doesn't carry the meaning of Jehovah. But he said, I did not appear unto them by this name, but I'm appearing to the children of Israel now as Jehovah. What I'm trying to get at here in this is if they would have stayed in Egypt, they'd have missed this blessing.
Amen.
If they had stayed in Egypt and compromised, yep, they'd have missed this blessing. And he says, well, we'll read on down a few more verses in verse 4. For I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, that I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment.
Amen.
And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burden return from the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land concerning to which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and I will give it to you for a heritage. I am the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So what Pharaoh comes to Moses to do is to compromise with him, and to compromise means that they miss the working of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The compromise of Mahlon, Chilion, Elimelech, and Naomi was to leave Bethlehem, Judah, which is the house of bread, and to travel down to Moab, which is defined in the book of Psalms as God's washpot. And while they're down there, Mahlon and Chilion and Elimelech, they all die, and Naomi's left alone, and she's been dealt very bitterly with, and she hears way off down there in that country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people. They missed it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they compromised.
Amen.
They still eat. And I fully understand. There was a famine in the land of Bethlehem, Judah. And he said, we got to get out of here. We're going to starve to death. Listen, God will never let his people starve to death.
You're right.
But they didn't want to go through the trial. And I can understand that. If you got children, you can understand that. That he wanted them out of there. He wanted to take them where it was a for sure thing. But they compromised. They were not to go to Moab. They were not to have anything to do with Moab. But he sold out and went to Moab.
Right.
They compromised. Amen. And so be careful that we as a people, we do not compromise what we believe for the satisfaction of the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Be careful we not sacrifice what the Word of God says, that we may promote ourselves into this world, or that we may get our way in some shape, form, or fashion, that we do not compromise the Word of God. And you say, no, I'll never do that. I bet you everyone in here has done it one corner time.
You're right.
And I'm not casting any stones. If I cast these stones, I'll cast them in myself. Because I don't know your heart, but I know the Lord does. But I also know this, your flesh is my flesh.
Amen.
Your inclinations of the flesh is similar to my flesh, because we're all depraved by nature.
Amen.
So be careful that you do not compromise, because if compromise comes what? It becomes a missed blessing of the Lord. Do not compromise where you sacrifice. Do not compromise where you sacrifice. Nowhere in Egypt. Now listen, there was even a sanctified place, wasn't it, in Egypt to a degree. You know what the name of that place was? Goshen.
Mm-hmm.
When the plagues would come, the land of Goshen, I think for the most part, I don't know about all of them, but I think for the most part, the land of Goshen did not suffer.
You're right.
And the one that always stood out to me was the plague of darkness. In all the land of Egypt, it was so dark that men just sat down for 3 days and did not move. But not the land of Goshen. And the land of Goshen was in Egypt. God has the ability to separate the light from the dark.
Amen.
That one cannot infiltrate the other. I tell you, that's a wonderful blessing whenever you get to considering what the Lord has delivered you from. But nonetheless, there was kind of a, if you will, if I can say that, there was kind of a sanctified, a set-apart place down in Egypt called Goshen. And I'm pretty sure that's probably where Pharaoh wanted them to go sacrifice.
That's right.
But he said, it'll not do, because it's still in this land that the Lord wants us out of. It is not in progression towards the promised land. It is a place that we're setting idle. We're sitting still, and we're not doing anything for the Lord. We got to move on.
Amen.
We got to move on. Moses said to Pharaoh, he said, we can't worship here. We can't worship here. Matter of fact, he said, we need to get 3 days away from here. We need to get out of here. Do you ever find yourself, spiritually speaking, the land of Egypt? Get out.
Right.
Get far away from it. Don't dabble with it. Get away from it. No place in Egypt. that can be used for sacrifice, for service, or for a feast unto the Lord. Be careful as we move on in our thought this morning. Do not compromise where you sacrifice or serve. Think about this. I know that we understand this morning that sacrifice, that is, animal sacrifices, they're done. They are fulfilled and they are complete in the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is the last sacrifice. He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He is our Paschal Lamb, as we will find in Exodus chapter 12, as they took the lamb and killed it and put the blood over the door and over the doorpost and over the top, and when the death angel come through, he passed over. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Passover Lamb, and there's no need of us sacrificing anymore. We understand that. But sacrifices are not altogether done away with. Because we find in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 13, he says, therefore by him, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Right. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name.
Amen.
He says, to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased.
Amen. Right.
We still have to sacrifice. We have to sacrifice with thanksgiving. That ain't much of a sacrifice that the Lord's asking for there is. That ain't much of a sacrifice to thank God for what He has done for us. But how many times do we neglect our duty to sacrifice the praise of the Lord continually? That is the fruit of our lips. Not much to ask. We have to sacrifice sometimes our time, our talents, our abilities, and maybe even our money at times to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Be careful. Do not compromise where you sacrifice, and do not compromise what you sacrifice. You know, for I believe this also. I believe for Moses to stay in Egypt and to sacrifice meant that he was not going to be able to quite possibly get that lamb of the first year without spot and without blemish and sacrifice it, because it would have been such an abomination to the Egyptians. He says it in our text, they'll stone us to death. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know what it was about this altogether. I'm not really up on my Egyptian history here, but it very well could be that this animal of the sacrifice that they needed to sacrifice was a sacred animal to them. It could be an object of idolatry to them. It could have been their grandmother, for all I know. That might have been what they thought, you know, if they believed in reincarnation and these sorts of things. But what were they sacrificing? What were they doing? Probably human life. Maybe even just golden statues and stuff like that. But Moses says, if I sacrifice here, then I'm not going to worry about the Egyptians stoning us to death right on the spot. He said, I'm going to have to use your sacrifice. And he said, I can't do that. He said, I can't use that sacrifice. Do not compromise what you sacrifice. He said, I must go into the wilderness and I must sacrifice as the Lord wants me to sacrifice. We have to make God happy, not man. He possibly, at the command of Pharaoh, could have sacrificed in there in such a way to appease the people that they might not have stoned, but all he would have done was to prolong their destruction. Really.
You're right. Amen.
And so we got to make God happy. We got to do the will of the Lord, and not what man would have us to do. Sometimes serving the Lord means that the world will disagree, or they will hate, or they will just not understand the things, how we serve, how we may try to be serving the Lord. But that's okay.
Right.
When you serve the Lord as the best the Lord puts it upon your mind and upon your heart, you serve the Lord as best you can. I would love to say that we should serve the Lord perfectly, and that's really what we should do, but realistically speaking,
right,
we'll never serve the Lord perfectly.
Amen.
Not as long as we're at home in this old body. We will always be failing. We will always do that which is wrong. And even Paul himself said, I find that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Mm-hmm. He said, I find when I go to do this,
I do that instead. You ever done that? You ever had the Lord want you to do something and you do something else instead? Listen, that's exactly what Paul was talking about. And that's exactly the issues we deal with as long as we're at home in this flesh. But we have to strive to serve the Lord as best we can.
Amen.
But sometimes it's just easy to give up.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just easy to compromise. And sometimes it's just easy not to do the things that we know we should do. That's
Amen.
A shame. That's a shame to us. Amen. And so, be careful. Were you sacrificed? Be careful what you sacrifice. But don't compromise these things. And thirdly, don't compromise who you sacrifice to.
Right.
Now, for Moses to sit here in Egypt to make a sacrifice, effectively, what's he doing? He's sacrificing to the God of the Egyptians.
Right.
He says, hey, brother. He said, I can't do that. I cannot change my God. I cannot go from Jehovah God. I cannot go from the Lord God Almighty. I cannot go from the true God of heaven, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who has given me the ability to even stand here before you and do all these things. He said, I cannot compromise who I'm sacrificing to. And listen, God could not be sacrificed to or served in Egypt.
Right.
Therefore, he said, get out of Egypt. Out of Egypt. Sometimes we get in such a place, we might as well call it Egypt, because we get in such a cold, hard-hearted condition.
Right.
No matter where we're at, we can't serve the Lord. Right. Spiritually speaking, we got to get out of Egypt. Spiritually speaking, we got to go. We got to change.
Amen.
We got to move. We got to get out of Egypt. He said to Moses, says to Pharaoh, it's not me. It's just not proper. It's not upright. That word me means proper, upright, and some other things, but he said, it's just not proper. Mm-hmm. You know, we were just talking about this Wednesday night in church. We serve a God of order. God, the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. And that word confusion, if you look it up, it means disorder. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And in all the churches of the saints. And in the last verse in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, it says that everything be done decently and in order. We serve a God of order. Mm-hmm. Amen. God's not like this.
Amen.
At best, we're haphazard, right? But God is perfect. And everything He does is perfect. Everything He does is in order. Everything He does is right. And it will not fail.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that's where we have to look to God through the Scriptures, through prayer. And we have to look to Him and say, Lord, order my steps. Because I really, honest to goodness, I really can't put one foot in front of another without God.
That's it. Amen.
I really can't do anything without my Lord. Mm-hmm. It's just by the marvelous grace of God that I am what I am.
That's it. Amen.
It's just by God's grace that I am where I am. And not somewhere else. By the marvelous grace of God that I'm out of Egypt.
Amen.
And I'm trying to do a strange land. I tell you, every day, it's getting stranger.
Yep.
Yeah. I wonder if it was like that for the children of Israel. I wonder if the closer they got home, the stranger it got. Mm-hmm. They got put out, didn't they?
Yeah.
I try not to be too hard on the children of Israel because they're a lot like me.
Right.
I try along for a pretty good while, and I do well, and then I get tired. If I'm not careful, I'll become a murmurer and a complainer. You know what they said, the children of Israel? They said, would to God we were back in Egypt.
Yep.
They said, would to God we were back in Egypt with the flesh pots. I don't know about you, that don't sound too bad. But he said, would to God we were back in Egypt with the flesh pots, with the bread, with the fish, cucumbers, the melon, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. In another place, they said, our soul loathes this vibration.
Right.
You know, it was, I think about what their memory is only the things that satisfy the flesh.
Yep.
In their murmuring and complaining, in their looking back at what they wish they were at, they never ever seem to think, you know, I was a slave when I was in Egypt, right then. They never come to the place where they say, I couldn't worship the Lord when I was in Egypt. And this is a time in which they have seen the great mighty hand of God, not only in the plagues, but dividing the Red Sea, bringing bread from heaven, water from a rock, and delivering them, even bringing quails in time for them to just go out and pick up and eat so that they would have meat. And then they still complain.
Right.
That they wish they were back in Egypt. Because things in the wilderness were hard. Amen. Do you know that the children of Israel, every day that they were in the wilderness, and really every day of their life, but in the wilderness especially, lived by faith? Mm-hmm. Because every day they could not, it was commanded them, they could not pick up more than one day's supply of bread, except for the sixth day they could pick up 2 days' supply. And every day when the sun came up, the bread was gone.
Yep.
And you know what that tells me? I got one day's worth of bread, and I got to trust God that tomorrow that bread will be back. And if they got stingy, and they did, and go in out there and gather 2 or 3 days worth of bread, then that second day, that bread stank. Mm-hmm. It was worthless. It was no such thing. The Bible says, I believe it says, it bred worms.
Yep.
And they could not eat it. They lived by faith. But I'm going to tell you right now, I thank the Lord that we live in a day of grace, but living by faith can be difficult, can't it? Mm-hmm. Because our flesh don't want to live by faith.
Right.
Our flesh wants to live by what it can see, by what it can handle, what it can do, what it can touch. It wants to live by things that are seen, not things that are not seen.
Right.
He says, the Bible says something to the effect, he said, why do we hope in things we can see? But we hope in things we cannot see. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ, we do not see Him, but we know that He's there. And we know that one of these days, He's going to come back for us. So we live by faith, not by sight.
Amen.
And that can be difficult.
Amen.
Especially again, as long as we live at home in this old flesh. But thank the Lord, He gives us of His Spirit to help us deal with this old flesh. The Bible says, the Lord loves us. You know how He chases us through the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Whenever we get the Mardi Gras and we get down and out and we get all tore up, the Lord's there.
Amen.
I got to tell a story. Some of you know it. We was at the ball game the other night. And every time the batter would hit a ball and go over the fence, all the kids go screaming out there and get that ball, and they can turn it in and give them a little play ball that had a funeral home's name on it or something. And one of them flew out over the thing, and here comes this little boy. I mean, he wasn't very fast at all. By the time he rounded the corner, he went, well, for Pete's sake. For Pete's sake. He just wilted. And he run about like I did. He ain't never going to get no ball. And sometimes we have those moments when we round the corner. We just say, well, for Pete's sake. What is it now? But we got to continue to trust the Lord.
Amen.
And He knows what's right.
Yes, He does.
The trials of this life cause us to look forward more and more.
Yeah.
It causes our faith to be stronger. Or, as it was pointed out to me lately, it causes our faith to be sharper. Mm-hmm. The Lord has given us a tool called faith. And the more you use that tool, the better you get at it.
Mm-hmm.
The trials that we surely do not pray for, but not want. But on the other side, we're stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So we think about this. We preach this message primarily from the view of if you're saved. Amen. I mean, but there's a view here that if you're lost, that if you're lost, you're not in the wilderness. You're not in the promised land. You're still in Egypt.
spiritually speaking. If you do not know the Lord as your Savior, you're still in Egypt. And guess what that means? You're still in bondage. Verse 25 of our text verse, the Bible says, and Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go you sacrifice to God in this land. Now God has another plan here for them, but up to this point, what did the children of Israel do?
They did everything Pharaoh told them to do.
Didn't
they? Mm-hmm.
See, Pharaoh was the ruler of Egypt. Pharaoh is a picture of the devil.
You're right.
And he has control of these Israelites. And everything he tells them to do, they do it. Because they have no other choice. I mean, they have no other options, if you will. So that made the devil their ruler.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes the devil your ruler this morning, if you know not the Lord and your Savior.
That's right.
But you need to be translated. The Bible says in Colossians in chapter 1, I believe it is, he says, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You see, as long as the children of Israel are in Egypt, they're in a kingdom. And it's obvious in the Scriptures that there's two kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
In this world, there's many kingdoms, physically speaking, but spiritually speaking, there's only two kingdoms. The kingdom of light, the kingdom of God,
amen,
and the kingdom of darkness.
Yep.
And they're constantly fighting one another. Every one of us here this morning and every person that lives in this world, in this life, is drawing a breath into a spiritual battle.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow God is our ruler, somehow the devil is our ruler, some sit in the kingdom of light, some sit in the kingdom of darkness. There's only one, though, of those kingdoms that's all powerful.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one of those kingdoms that has the perfect ruler. And there's one of those kingdoms that has the great master.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That is the kingdom of God. The Bible commands us, for lack of a better word, I'm looking for another word, but it commands us to seek first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And his righteousness. The Bible says the Lord is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
The Bible says, behold, today is the day of salvation. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen in a couple hours. But I know right now, we're living, we're breathing, and the Lord's talking to you, the Lord's dealing with you, all I do is urge you to seek after.
Mm-hmm.
That you might be delivered, that you might be translated, that you might have the grandest exodus in your life.
Amen.
To leave out that kingdom, you know, is the kingdom of life.
Amen.
The kingdom of God. You never go back, amen? There's a prevalent doctrine in our teaching, doctrine, same word. There's a prevalent doctrine in our world today that people go back and forth from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of life. We don't look at it like that because the doctrine says you save one man and lost another, but if you look at it literally, that's what it's saying. He's saying, you've been booted out of the kingdom of God, go back into the kingdom of darkness. And then God has to come back and deliver you again. Listen, that's foolishness. The Lord said, he went to the cross once.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He made a sacrifice once. So that whenever we are truly saved, and we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, listen, we're in the mighty hand of God. No man can pluck us out of that. To say that we are saved today and lost tomorrow literally means, by the Scriptures, not by my thoughts, but literally means we're going to need Christ to come back down from heaven.
Amen.
And to make another sacrifice, which the Scripture says, I might not do that.
Right.
Because the first one was good enough.
Amen.
If you're saved today, you will be saved tomorrow. If you're living, I guess even if you die, you'll be saved. You'll be with the Lord. There is no
in truly in salvation there is. The Lord does not turn his back. He does not cast out. He does not forsake. And these things, what we all need to understand, what we all need to settle in our heart, are we saved?
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Are we saved? Are we deceived? What's our salvation based upon? Now, Brother Larry mentioned being saved from hell. I heard a little AWP say years ago, I read a little thing about him. He said this, it's always stuck in my mind. Everybody wants to be saved from hell. Nobody wants to be saved from their sins.
That's it.
And so when we see the Lord Jesus Christ come, we know that he said he'd come to deliver us from condemnation, but primarily what do we see the Lord say he comes for?
For sinners.
Mm-hmm. If you're saved from your sins, if your sins are paid for by the blood of Christ, you will be delivered from condemnation. But listen, we gotta get to the point where we're ready to repent of our sins and turn to the Lord. Yeah, nobody likes the idea of being burned alive in a lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Nobody likes that thought, do they? Nobody likes that. Nobody even wants to think about that. Surely, no, absolutely not. It's a horrible, wretched thought for me. I know I'm not going there to even think about it. Nobody wants to be saved from their sins.
Right.
But you will want to be if the Lord changes your wonder. If the Lord makes you meet to be a partaker. If he makes you qualified to he deals with you and blesses you, he'll make you want to be saved from your sins. You need to, if you're lost here this morning, you need to get out of Egypt so that you may serve the Lord properly. So much of the time people do not want to serve the Lord properly. They want to serve the Lord on their own terms.
You got it.
Now, a lot of people have a great disgust for church, even Christian people. Because of what, I'll be honest with you, I think it's for this very reason, it's what church has become. Because I believe the early church, if we can go back and look at it, it probably not look very much like our church. And I don't mean that ugly. I'm just saying.
Right.
That
you're right.
And I'm not going to pass stuff at this church, but a lot of churches have become a place of no different really than the world.
Right.
Yeah. A place of entertainment. There's a place for entertainment, isn't it? But we come to church for a reason. I mean, you go to college to learn, don't you? You go to work, but you don't go to church to play.
Right.
You go to church to learn about the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I believe a lot of that comes to that, but it's the Lord made a church for some reason. The Lord said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Lord assembled his church. He put it out there for a reason. It was not to be forsaken, it was to go to. And a lot of people say, well, I can go down to the lake, or I can go to the woods, or I can go wherever to serve the Lord. I don't buy that. Now, can you serve the Lord in them places? Yes. I guess you can. But there's a real issue I have if somebody will forsake the assembly of God all the days of their life to think they're good enough down at the lake, or down in the woods hunting, or wherever they may find themselves to be. They have to. To what maybe even sometimes they even call it ministry. Yeah. Some people think going to work is a ministry. You do ministry, you do it through the church. And so I think there's a proper way to serve the Lord. And part of that is being in church, amen.
Amen.
And part of that is simply being saved. So then the Bible says in Romans 8:8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If we know not the Lord Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, we're still under that old ruler of Egypt. Guess what? We cannot please God.
You're right.
So we need to get out from underneath that ruler and be saved and serve the Lord properly, if you will, in a decent and orderly fashion. The Bible says even the plowing of the wicked is sin. I mean, God has a way of doing things that He wants done the right way. You need to serve the Lord.
Amen.
You need to have a capability of knowing how to serve the Lord. And you can't do that, folks. You can't do that denying the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. verse 27 of our text, he says, we'll go 3 days journey into the wilderness and sacrifice the Lord our God as he shall command us. You need God, the God of heaven, to draw you out. We don't have a power to walk out of the kingdom of darkness all in our flesh, but we need some help.
Mm-hmm.
We need some help. I'm not ashamed, but Paul wrote by the Spirit of the Lord, the Word of God, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We're the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first, also to the Greek. And Paul said, I say to know nothing but Jesus Christ has been crucified.
Amen.
He said, matter of fact, I don't even know if I'm going to baptize anymore. He said, I think you even got the floor. He said, I wish I hadn't baptized you. Because he said, some baptized in this name, some baptized, he said, some even baptized in my name. He said, that ain't right. He said, all I'm going to go forth from here is preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified.
That's it. Amen.
And that message alone is the power of God unto salvation. That message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which we know of as the gospel, is that power in which when the Lord chooses to use it and get a hold to you, he will draw you to him.
Amen. You're right.
I believe there were probably a lot of people in Egypt that probably, maybe they didn't want to come. And I wonder if there wasn't some in Egypt that probably didn't put the blood on their doorpost because they really didn't believe.
Yep.
And you know what? The dead angel went in there and killed them. But nonetheless, we see that we need to get out of Egypt. Whether we're saved, whether we know the Lord as our Savior, we need to get out of Egypt if we find ourselves there. If we find ourselves in that condition, that we can't serve the Lord. You ever find yourself when you feel like it's just pretty hard to just even pray?
Mm-hmm.
You're in Egypt. You ever find it hard to pick up the Bible and read? You're probably in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get out of it. You need to get out from underneath that. Get away from it. Whether we're lost, you need to get out of Egypt. But you may have a new ruler. And I'm not saying, when I say, you know, I'm not saying we'll be lost again at all. But I think there's the influence, the same end of this world. Egypt is this world.
Amen.
And we live in this world. And this world influences us. In a matter of speaking, we have to get out of Egypt. And so, remember what the Lord has delivered you from whenever you find yourself spiritually speaking in that cold in a different place. Remember that the Bible says this, but now after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements of the world wherein you desire to be in bondage again? He says something to that effect. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, he says, who should deliver us from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of his Son, Jesus Christ. Don't be like the children of Israel in our memory. Remember what the Lord has delivered you from. Don't remember what it is that you liked in the flesh. That's all they could remember was what they liked in the flesh pots and in the leeks and the garlics and all these sorts of stuff. That's all they could remember, but they forgot about the toil of working and working and working. And guess what? It's just like us a lot of times. We go to work and we work, and the next day we go to work and we work, and sometimes it just seems endless, doesn't it?
Right. Amen.
When Jonah went on the boat to escape and flee from God, he told the men on the boat, he said, if you want to escape this storm that fell upon this boat, he says, you must throw me overboard. And the men said, oh no, this is what we will do. We will row harder. And so they rowed harder. They rowed that old boat. And they rowed that old boat. It was essentially what they were doing. They were rowing against the hand of God. And then they come to the realization, we ain't getting anywhere. They throw Job overboard,
yep,
and the storm stopped. I think those men rowing harder and harder and harder and harder, it's just like sometimes you that are lost and undone, you're trying all you can do to get peace,
yep,
maybe even work out your own salvation,
yep,
with somebody. But you ain't going to get nowhere.
That's right.
And you quit wrong.
That's right.
Start trusting in the Lord.
Amen.
Quit wrong. Start trusting.
trust in the Lord. Salvation is not by works, but it is by grace. And so, be careful. Look, you know, I heard this a lot when I was growing up, and I don't hear it much, too much anymore. But I think it's useful. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. You say, "Well, I'm saved. I don't need to examine myself." Yes, you do. Because the Holy Spirit will carry you right back to the day you're saved.
Amen.
You need to be for sure. But examine yourself whether you're being saved.
Amen.
Examine yourself. Examine your, whether you want to think about it or not, examine what it's going to mean if you die today.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to leave a lot of things behind that I don't want to leave behind right now. But I'm going on to be with the Lord.
Yep.
It is well with my soul. Is it well with your soul?
Amen.
Is it well with your soul?